And it kind of worked for LA Gear too.
LA Gear. Because
those are the ones that I had. I didn't have the Reebok pumps.
Do they still make those white LA Gear? We need to like get those.
I hope so.
Those are sick.
They should make.
I think maybe a couple years ago, my dad was rocking some LA Gear. I'm like, I don't even think they make those anymore. Where the fuck did you find that?
Are we rolling?
We're rolling now, for
bro,
sure.
Like, I'm almost say that, like, guys, that go check out that penis pump video we posted. But hey, I sometimes be walking around my house naked. I'm just like. Hey, this thing's working. Like,
well,
it's doing its job.
It gives you a little more confidence. Yeah.
Not just confidence, it gives you a little more.
Gives you a little more.
Well, it gives you more to be confident about. You got to have something to be something, right? Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. You be coming up with these sayings, man. You got to have something to be something. Mm-hmm. Do more, be more.
Yeah. Some lift through it, pump through it. Pumps.
Hanging low.
I need a pump for my whole body. Like, will it make you taller? Like, if somebody could pump me like a giant penis?
Well, it'll probably cause you to stand more straight.
Imagine the pressure that you get in your head.
Well, hey, Chris, legitimately.
Legitimately. Like,
if you pump your dick, it might have more blood flow, might be heavier, so you might have to stand a little bit straighter and walk with a straight back to hold that dick up.
Is this some of the theory of, like, the boots and, you know, the leg things? Like, they pump you up with air, like a blood pressure cuff, right?
Oh, man.
What are you talking about?
Like, you ever get your blood pressure done? They pump up your arm, right?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that kind of works in training. People use that type of training where they...
Occlusion training,
right? And then there's those boots. What are those boots called? The recovery boots or whatever?
Rapid reboots. And then the other one was like the Nordic.
Yeah, like they're Nordic boots or something.
Kind of pumps your legs, right? Because it gets a lot of blood flow too,
but
right?
I think that's pushing pressure into the opposite direction. So like the pump, penis pump is like extracting everything, like
It's
elongating.
Like, it's like sucking
it. The boots and all that is like compressing.
Vacuum suck.
Vacuum sucking.
They do have a new machine that I saw on, I think I saw it on Pornhub. It's like
oh, did you?
Unlimited blowjobs. It's like a little machine and this guy gets the machine. And it gets all pumped, and then it shows the thing sucking, sucking them off.
Unlimited.
And I'm like, this is amazing.
That can't be good.
Guys.
I actually was thinking of maybe getting one.
And Steve was going to break his no Pornhub on
his
phone.
I'm not going on Pornhub.
Remember that sex, what was that, that sex suit that we saw, remember?
The sex suit? The Japanese sex suit thing? Oh
my what gosh. Is the suit?
In Japanese are fucking brilliant.
All right, guys, I'm not gonna put anybody on blast here because, A, it's good that they're
talking about. That means you're going to put someone on blast.
Nah, I just saw.
Not to be a dick. It's like one of those.
There's this company. They're called Vush, okay? So Vush is this company that sells a vibrator clitoris sucking tool for women. And they've been sponsoring fitness female influencers. So it's called the Vush Empress 2. And I've seen two female influencers that I know. Like, they're talking about it. And it's cool. Like, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Get your female pleasure. But wait. Get your female pleasure. Good. Great. Right? But I was thinking
Fantastic, actually.
If I was like... Yo, guys, I got this dope fleshlight. It's so wet, you know. The lips are so nice, guys. This would be great for your male pleasure. That shit wouldn't roll the same.
No, we'd all be like, "That's so gross." Like, it seems so gross, but then we'd go out and buy it behind your back, though. But I was just going to tell you, like, Joe Rogan started his whole podcast on the fleshlight.
Yep,
it was Aubrey Marcus's. Well, I remember when I first met Aubrey Marcus. The way that he was introduced to me was so different than you would think that you would meet him. Cause I met him before everything, you know, at Onnit blew up and everything. And I met him and I was like, this is the guy that invented the fleshlight.
Yeah.
And like, oh no, his dad did, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then like, that's sort of
even more weird.
I had met him and he was like the owner of Onnit, but he was more known for like this fleshlight thing and blowing that up with Joe Rogan
and marketing the fleshlight.
Matt, so that's, marketing. Yeah. He was the marketing guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was the marketing genius. Who was the ad wizard who came up with this idea?
Hey,
I mean, I guess it would be hard to make that an okay thing, right? But like, hey, like, how hard is it going to be to sell this thing that feels really good?
It's dog,
like,
that's why I've never tried a fleshlight, and I never will, because you imagine. I never will.
What a vow.
I know how good it's going to feel, because you know that they're like putting different types of ridges in that thing. And
could replace the real thing is what you're thinking.
It would feel probably, it would be different, but it would probably feel
really
good.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but there's one that has like several different holes.
And it probably pulsates on its own.
One of the holes was like miscellaneous. It was like, because like one is like a octagon, one's like a circle, one's like a more of a square, and then one of them's like you know, like unidentified.
Yeah.
A glory hole.
But seriously, don't they make them so that they like, they'll you know, pulsate on your dick? Imagine that shit feels too good. That it was, you're not meant to feel that.
I'm not sure, because I'd be too embarrassed to go and buy one. See? Definitely would have to order it online.
It comes in like a big giant box that you got to like take out of the store.
Everyone knows.
A bright red giant box.
Discreet packaging. It's a giant orange box that you got to carry out.
But you know, I think the reason it is okay, because when I see these girls doing it, I'm like, get your money and, you know, good for you. That's good. But I think it's okay for women to do it, because there's something out there where like women are like, yeah, men can't make me, so they have to use their toys. So it's that's why it's okay. But dudes, we're kind of like a, you know, it's easy for us. Yeah. Literally.
Doesn't take much.
Just a rubber.
Not as difficult.
Not as difficult at all.
Yeah, we had a neck massager going around at our white elephant party. And everyone's like, neck massager. Like, hey, like, what's that really being used for?
I wanted to steal that neck massager so bad. Mm-hmm. It looks so good. And the bidet, too. I wanted to take that bidet, but somebody got it for me.
Oh, the bidet was a great gift. Mm-hmm.
It was. It really was.
It's super helpful. You
there was
the
a gift
clean.
That you got for your brother-in-law that was amazing.
Oh, yeah, the thing for the nuts.
Did you actually re-gift that?
The test
said I re-gifted this, but I used it first? Or did you? Or is it?
Well, I didn't use it, but I did get it sent to me, and then I gave it to him because I knew that he would love it.
The ball koozie.
He really did love
it. Yeah, the ball testacuzzi, I think it's called.
The testacuzzi.
What do we got? Brownies? Cookies?
Fuck.
Talk about the testacuzzi, and then you bring over chocolate balls.
Good thing you're not fasting, Mark Linsima. I don't know.
I've already gained what is it? 10 holiday
What
pounds,
is it?
Those are homemade peanut butter balls.
We're so fat. We're supposed to talk about the carnivore diet.
I know, but I have to get rid of these. Because it's not carnivore month yet at the time of this recording.
Mm. I'll throw them right in the garbage if you want.
I'm a lift.
Okay, see? He'll eat them. See what happens if I say I'm going to throw them in the garbage? Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just going to eat them later.
More productive.
I'm going to get my fasting into this, but I'm going to eat this later. So
I'm eating this shit right
this
now.
This isn't working for your diet, but it's working for mine.
Mm-hmm. And same is going to go up to like 7% body fat.
They were made with sucralose, so it's okay.
Mm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wait, so they are kind of
well,
okay.
The chocolate is definitely not.
Oh.
Yeah, but it's not that bad, right? I mean, it's not that bad.
It's not going to work on the carnivore diet.
It's not a bunch of sugar.
Don't try to give it. You can't have any.
The number one thing that people ask me about the carnivore diet is, like, what they can get away with, which I find interesting, and I think that's a pet peeve of Mark's, is, like, as soon as you tell people, like, I'm going on a diet, it's meat only. Well, what else can you have?
Yeah, the first thing they focus on is what they can't have any longer.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, but... We just gave you a list of stuff that you can eat. Carnivore diet, you know, is pretty, you know, pretty limited. But if you get into it and start talking to people that get really lean or get in really good shape, a lot of times when they're on point with their diet, they don't eat that many different types of foods, you'll find out.
I don't find it to be – it's weird because I've done it for like a really long time. And I actually really enjoy the food. And I feel like if you enjoy red meat, you enjoy chicken, you enjoy eggs, you enjoy fish, you enjoy – any of those things, I find it to be rather enjoyable. It never gets restrictive to where I'm like, oh man, I can't believe I, you know, can't have this salad or something, like, right? Like, because I don't do it all the time, pedal to the metal, like all year round. So I think that when you do have these times where you are being strict about it, it's kind of easy to be strict for a little while.
How do you usually do it? If you don't do it, because you don't do it year round, so when do you cycle things in? When you do feel cravings, like if you do want rice or you do want some of that, how do you do that?
Well, this year, just as a experiment, I did like maybe about 4 months where I ate about 400 grams of carbs a day, which is a lot.
4 months you did that?
Yeah.
Okay, how'd that go?
It went amazing. I mean, I didn't get like much leaner than I am right now, but I was focusing more on strength and like trying to build strength. And
you kept your calories around the same, right? When you added those 400 carbs.
So it was like 400 grams of carbs, but there was almost no fat. Okay. It was like maybe like, you know, 75 grams of fat at the most, but mainly like more like in a bodybuilding range of like 60 grams of fat, stuff like that. I was eating like Piedmontese beef, and I would eat like a Piedmontese steak with like a cup of rice, you know, and I would do that usually twice a day. Mm-hmm. So the calories stayed pretty consistent. I find that when I use Piedmontese beef, though, and like a World Carnivore Month, it can get you in a lot of trouble because it's just not fatty enough. So while it works amazing you need to either substitute in other fats or use some other fattier meats other times in the day. So like,
or other cuts, like the ribeye has a good amount of fat.
Yeah, a regular ribeye has about 30 grams of fat, so that that works perfect.
Mm-hmm. Or, but even Piedmontese, they have some of the burgers, and they got some selections that you can go and get.
Those hop dotty patties, yeah, those are my shit.
I was saying get the hop dotty patties, get the fattier beef for the carnivore diet, and then use like the Piedmontese steaks to sort of accentuate the diet, like at night if you want. Like it's always nice to have a nice steak for dinner or something. So it's like maybe cook up some burgers during the day. That'll keep you, that'll get you like really full and satiated. Then when you have that steak at night, it's a little bit lighter. I also think that people can get away with having some things like, I eat a lot of iceberg lettuce and people will argue that there's nothing in it. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. There's nothing in it. So there's nothing that can really trigger autoimmune conditions. There's nothing that can really hurt me in it. It could just help me by filling up my stomach, giving me a little bit of fiber and allowing me to have a little bit of variety in something that's kind of crunchy. So I do that. I'm not saying that people have to do that or that they should do that. It's just that I'll allow myself to have some, a couple other things like iceberg lettuce. I would throw in the mix. There's a couple like little dairy things I have, like I'll have cream in my coffee, but I recommend that people cut most dairy during the carnivore diet because I find that most people are trying to do it for weight loss or some sort of autoimmune condition, and weight loss works better with just meat, and it seems to be faster. I don't know if it works better. I can't tell you.
Well, cheese will encourage you to eat more food usually. It makes it easier to eat more food, and so anything you can do to discourage yourself from eating too much food can assist you with losing body fat.
Yeah, for example, like last night I made burgers, and I had to use Mark's method of like, he'll say, don't eat cheese while you're cooking. Well, don't eat anything really
don't
while you're cooking.
Don't eat cheese while you're cooking.
But especially cheese. Like I used to make these burgers and I would cook up two burgers and I would put like one or two slices of cheese on each of them, but I had eaten five or six slices of cheese in the interim while I'm cooking. So seriously, the calories from cheese would be like, you know, 700 calories of cheese.
Yeah, you don't even realize you're doing
and
it.
And the burgers are only, you know, the burgers are less even. So you're like, how did I...
This shows me how fat y'all two are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's real talk. Like, I wouldn't be just eating cheese while cooking.
If you were hungry and you had the
I think most of the people are listening right now.
Have you ever tried Boar's Head white American cheese?
No.
It's delicious.
Okay, there you go.
That's I just remember the commercial Boar's Head. Like, that's how he said it.
Yeah.
Boar's Head.
Boar's Head white American cheese is awesome.
Try that.
I would guess that most people listening to the show probably eat while they're cooking. They probably pick at stuff a little bit here and there, which I always think it's good to like cook your stuff and then sit down and try to eat it like a civilized person. But a lot of times you end up being so savage that you're like eating as you're cooking and then you eat your meal while you're standing up and you never really sat down and tried to enjoy it the way that I think you should.
Yeah, this is true. But I'm not eating cold cheese while I'm cooking. I don't know why.
I'm going to bring you some of that weird cheese and I want you to try it and then tell me that you wouldn't just eat that.
No, I probably would, man. I don't think my cheese is as quality as yours. That's the truth.
Yeah.
Like y'all are using some really good cheese. I'm over here using Sargento.
Yeah, like, yeah. No, I wouldn't eat. No, I would never eat like Sargento. Like that's not good like that. Right. This Boar's Head cheese is creamy and smooth and
see, that's a different
melts
cheese.
In your mouth. It's amazing.
That's a different cheese.
Yeah. Now we need some Boar's Head cheese, right?
God dang.
That shit's delicious. Anyway, it's World Carnivore Month, and so that's what we're going to be spitting here today. What are, when you're trying to be really strict with it for yourself, what are some things that you do? Let's kind of maybe give us the types of meat that you eat. Let us know if you're eating like organ stuff, and then maybe we'll get into some like off, kind of off carnivore-ish stuff like sauces and things like that. But what kind of meats do you eat?
Basically, during World Carnivore Month, it's really straightforward. It's steak, a burger, or eggs. Yeah, that's sort of the main thing right there.
Fish.
I don't eat that much fish in general.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like it at all.
Okay.
So I just stay away from it usually. But I also think chicken is great to have, but like fattier chicken, like chicken thighs.
Mm-hmm. I think he does a good job. Like I think a lot of people, they'll force themselves to eat some stuff that they don't like when they're trying to like be on a diet. And that works for some people, but I think for like, you should enjoy almost every meal that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of us actually here, I think we usually are prepping our meals. And I know for like Nsema and I and Chris, I think Andrew might be the only one that preps his meals in far enough advance to where he sometimes brings them here and kind of reheats them. But like, I don't even necessarily really like to reheat something. I also don't like to waste something. So if there's something left over from the night before, I'll just use that as extra protein in whatever I'm cooking, and I'll actually cook it again rather than just like stick it in the microwave. I try to just do that as much as I can so the meals are enjoyable every single time.
If I prep meals, I'd probably eat two or three meals at a time. Like that's the way that I operate. So I make everything like right when I eat it. Mm-hmm. It also, for me, I try to stay away from food. Like I've had a problem, you know, a quote unquote bad relationship with food, but just a bad, like a thing in my head, like if I have food around, I'll eat. If I'm bored, I'll eat. So I know those things about myself. So I try to stay away most of the day. Like the past 2 days, I've fasted the entire day. You know, like yesterday, I fasted all day and then I ate one meal at the end of the night, and that was it. And the day before, I did the same thing. Those things are usually pretty easy for me. And I think by adding in fasting to World Carnivore Month, it makes it a lot easier because all you keep thinking about is like, oh, all I can eat is meat. But if you can really only eat, you're really only eating once a day and it's a big pile of meat, you get really, really hungry for it.
Right.
And then when you eat it, you love it and you feel great. And then you go to bed, wake up and do it all over again. So as long as you're not like suffering during the day, and during the day I have coffee and I will put some cream in my coffee. That's probably, you know, one of the dairy exceptions.
Ooh,
I said,
as exciting as a diet.
And I always, I'm kind of addicted to it. I put a chocolate element electrolytes in every coffee.
Those are delicious.
And that seems to do a good job of just keeping me satiated all day. Have any problems with strength. We've talked about this. I don't have any problems with my strength going down without carbs. Like I did no carbs until Christmas. No carbs till Christmas was like a hashtag I did just to sort of keep myself on a low carb, more of a war on carbs style diet, just to sort of get ready for this World Carnivore Month.
Yeah, so you're not saying fuck it until World Carnivore.
Yeah, my strength has been going up. You know, I've been stronger on like a lot of the different lifts. So when people are like, oh, I need my carbohydrates and stuff like that, I just don't think that that's, I think that carbohydrates will sap somebody's strength if they're used to eating them all the time and then they switch to a different diet. But I think that as far as like you and I go, we don't experience much of a huge loss in strength, maybe a little bit. But then again, why couldn't I just eat carbs before I came in and lifted on that day if I really wanted to be stronger? You know?
So beef and chicken are kind of your main go-tos. What about like something like pork? Do you cook up like bacon or anything?
Yeah,
like that?
I'll use some bacon here and there. I think one of my favorite things to eat, it's not necessarily carnivore, so I don't really eat this during World Carnivore Month, but bacon, jalapeno poppers.
Yeah, those are
like
amazing.
Bacon, jalapeno, and cream cheese.
Oh, those are good.
Yeah.
Throw those, a little red hot sauce on those bitches, and they're amazing.
Yeah, those are outstanding, especially you cook them in a foodie grill for 20 minutes, and then you leave them. When you cook stuff like that, like bacon or chicken wings in the foodie grill or in an air fryer, I always suggest that you cook it for like 20 minutes or however long you're supposed to cook it. Then leave it in there for another 5 to 10 minutes and just let it all crisp up. That's how it gets like nice and crispy. And it,
Andrew, see if you can bring up the foodie grill. Let's talk more about this thing because I know you're obsessed with it. And
so am I.
Which one is it? Because I just purchased one, actually. It's like the 6-in-1?
I believe so. Yeah. I think did you get the XL or the?
It's got to be the XL. Oh.
We'll see.
I didn't get the XL because I don't have, I'm only cooking for myself.
It's so worth it though.
So I just got my dad this for Christmas. This was his Christmas gift.
It doesn't produce like a lot of smoke and stuff either, right?
No, it's a smokeless grill. It's not totally smokeless, but it's pretty smokeless.
But you can use it indoor, and then you're using it a ton of different ways, right?
Yeah, I use that for I've made every meal for the past probably 2.5 years in that thing. You know,
Is this the one?
So this is the one. Yeah. So what's cool about this one is like you see how the meat probes are coming out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the meat probe.
So you just set it. Let me see. See how it says beef right there. So you set it to beef, and then you set the rareness that you want, and it does it all for you.
When it gets to 135, it'll just turn off.
No, it doesn't even go that. So like, let's say you want it medium rare, it'll cut off at 112, knowing that it's gonna rest and
dude, get look
hotter.
At Nsema's face right now.
Yeah, and then it'll beep when it's ready, right?
Yeah.
I got the wrong ninja. So what is the difference between this booty grill and the 6-in-1? Because I just purchised. Ninja 6-in-1.
Did you? No, this one is 6-in-1. Yeah. 6-in-1.
But this is a different one.
You have one with glass on it? maybe?
No, you got the I know which one.
Like the one that's like in the break room?
I got it from Costco.
No, he got the, it's more like a traditional air fryer instant pot combo.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you got to return that shit.
Yeah, I'm returning. I'm buying this right
now.
Yeah,
return it and buy this one.
You got this one because the problem with this one, though, is the surface area is dog shit.
So it is.
I don't know how to make anything in an instant pot. Like, I actually had one for about 2 days, and then I just said, forget it.
So this one can do technically more things than the grill will. However, you will only use
the air frying
feature of this one.
I'm buying it right now.
Yeah.
Well, so actually, you use the bake feature and the air fry feature pretty much, right?
Yeah. So there's a grill feature or the grill mode that I use, and then I use the air fryer mode.
What I noticed on
this is a different one.
But. How much does that thing cost?
Sorry. That thing is
$250.
It's right $250 now. There, but I got it at Costco for Dad for $135.
Yeah. Wait. You got that at Costco?
You can get $135
bucks. Yeah.
When?
I got it at Costco like last week.
Which Costco?
In Woodland.
Okay, I need to go to the Woodland Costco. Maybe they'll still have. I love how you got this one.
Yeah, I got that one. Yeah.
And I love it was, how excited like, it was
like
one. Gets
I think it was like $139. I want to say.
That's an amazing deal.
I'm going there like right after this pod. Like, yeah. Fuck. I'm mad. Okay.
Like I had to get my dad something for Christmas, and there's not anything to like really get him that I could think of that would be cool. Like I always like to get things that can help make his life better. So last year I introduced him to Hoka shoes because my feet are all messed up, and so are my dad's. Mm-hmm. So I got him on the Hoka shoe kick, and then this year was the foodie grill. So I had to find something to get him that he could use all the time to get healthier. And
to show you how fat the family truly is, I got him a frying pan. I got him a frying pan as well. Nice.
By the way, I used that frying pan last night.
What is that thing called?
It's like a dope frying pan or something.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's sick. It's like a ceramic coated frying pan.
Was it on Amazon too?
Yeah,
I don't know what it's called. It had some weird like. Name I can find it, out.
Well, the spatula comes like it has a spatula groove in the pans, and the spatula just rests right in there all the time. It's like the most genius thing, and it has a lid that fits on there.
The lid fits on there.
Never find the lid
for the first time.
Never find the lid.
Never find a lid
for the first time. I was able to cook my own. this is going to sound stupid, but the first time I ever cooked eggs like over medium, which I really like them when the inside's a little bit mushy, but not totally mushy. Mm-hmm. And it came out absolutely perfect because usually when I go to flip, that's when I break the yolk.
You can flip with this thing. You can flip.
The eggs are just like.
Like you need like a chef hat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit's just sitting on top of the pan. Nothing sticks to it. It's crazy.
So. Dude, I need a new pen. I asked for one for Christmas, but I didn't get one. So I'm going to have to.
People are going to see all this stuff in Smelly's kitchen soon.
Guys.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm just like fucking. This foodie grill can fit six steaks. Six steaks.
Yeah, it could fit.
Well, Piedmontese steaks, maybe three.
Are you trying to sell it to me? I've had.
I know.
It for 2 years.
I'm just so fucking like excited right now. Like I'm so excited to go buy this right after this, man.
More. Okay. Oof. If you take home the foodie grill today, I'll throw in an extra chicken. How about that?
There you go. We just had a guy come here.
Yeah, trying to sell us meat.
Here.
I was in Ryan's office. I heard April said that someone was selling some meat.
A guy showed up selling meat, and it's like he couldn't have walked into a better spot.
I don't want to be judgy, but you could have probably bought anything off that guy. Dude, I'm not interested in this meat, but how about some crystal meth? Like, oh,
I
got that.
I make that local too.
Yeah, exactly.
Locally sourced.
Let's talk about sauces because a lot of people have a lot of questions. Can I use this sauce? Can I use this sauce? And they got all kinds of questions. I don't think you and I feel that it's really all that problematic, especially if you choose certain types of sauces.
Well, I like all the G. Hughes sauces.
Yeah.
I think that story is amazing, so I love supporting that company. The guy used to work for GM. He got laid off, and he was a good cook, and all his friends were like, well, you should put those sauces out that you make. Started putting the sauces out at, like, farmers markets and little things like that. Now they're in every single Walmart.
Damn.
It's a black-owned business, which I think is really cool. Like, you don't usually see that in the world of cooking, you know, besides Stubbs, which was our other favorite marinade.
And Aunt Jemima, but I don't even think black people own Aunt Jemima.
Yeah, that was like
Uncle Ben's also owned by...
Yeah.
Got them faces,
yeah.
But nope.
But this one's got a real black guy on it. Yeah. He's like a real guy, right?
And he owns it. Good shit.
But so G. Hughes, they make a plethora of sauces. So they make... First of all, yum yum sauce is exactly.
Andrew, look up that word, plethora.
Yum yum sauce. There is so good on almost anything. So that's one of them that I like. But yum yum sauce has a lot of fat in it. It does have canola oil, which will freak some people out.
Oh my God.
It doesn't freak me out because we've been down those roads. But some of the other sauces, like the, if you get the orange ginger teriyaki G Hughes sauce and you cook that on a Piedmontese steak, it tastes just as good as like when you go to like, you know, those Japanese restaurants, like a Benihana kind of place, and they have like the teriyaki steak or the.
Now, what's the secret?
It's amazing.
What's the secret, though? Do you cook it with the sauce or you put it on after? Or you put it in like mid cooking? Because it's like, it's really important when you use the sauce. Yeah. Right?
I think for chicken wings, I think here's where most people get it wrong.
This is my shit, too.
For things like chicken and stuff like that, I would cook the chicken first. Like if you were making wings with this, say, I'd make wings first and then I would dump the wings in a bowl. I'd pour some of this on and I'd toss it all around.
In like, yeah.
And I'd throw the wings back in the Ninja Foodie for like 5 minutes and then cook it in there.
You could also put it in a pot on your stove with the sauce
and heat it up
that way.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
It gets like sticky and it's perfect.
But if you put
the sauce in too early, it'll fucking burn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like putting the sauce in like right when you're cooking it. Because you got to think like you have this chicken and it's got like, you know, the chicken's like wet and it's got all this water on it.
You're boiling it.
Yeah, you want to cook that off first, in my opinion. And also, like, that would cook out any sort of pathogens, you know, that could possibly get you sick or something like that. I don't want that mixing in with my sauce. Like, I don't know. I just
feel a stronger immune system, man.
Yeah, it could. I just feel weird about it. So I usually mix the sauce in later. Yum Yum sauce is an amazing topping for literally almost anything, for chicken, for any sort of like beef. Like it's a Japanese steak sauce, so that's really good. The G Hughes, so for Christmas, Andrew had told me that he couldn't find the red, what is it, red chili, sweet chili?
So this was the best gift I received all, like, ever.
Oh, good.
It was
ever.
G Hughes sweet chili sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Is by far the greatest thing ever invented, period. And
it is pretty damn good.
Since the beginning of the year, so like we bought like a huge like amount, like we had shipped to Super Training Gym. That's like, that's how much, and I already had like a good stock at home, and I was like, no, I need more. And then I just, out of sight, out of mind, like kept grabbing it from the cupboard, like, okay, cool, we got another one, And I'm like, oh shit, I only have like two left. Like, how did I let this happen? Like, I need to order some more. It's been out of stock everywhere. Like, I feel like,
even online.
Dude, everywhere. It comes in stock on
Amazon.
He told
me about it like twice. Like, it's out everywhere. I can't find it.
It's
anywhere.
The sweet chili drought of 2021. Unfortunately, that like...
Talk about supply chain issues.
Yes. I'm so scared to even say this on air because now if it is available somewhere, people are going to buy it.
We're not going to tell them where we got it, though.
Bleep it out. Yeah. Bleep out the sauce name.
Yeah.
So even online... Okay. So when it comes in stock on Amazon, it's like three bottles is like $100.
No,
I'm not joking, dude. Wow. It's that good.
So I gave you $100 gift.
He gave me $100 worth of sweet chili.
So I found it at a local store here.
A mom and pop shop that you can't find anywhere else. Promise.
And I found three bottles. It was like the last on the shelf. And I'm like, oh my God, they have it. And it was such great because it was like an instant reaction where I just bought it for Andrew. I'm like, I'm going to buy these for Andrew. And then my biggest problem when I came here to the gym was like thinking in my head, if I just give him two bottles, that's cool. Maybe I can just give him two bottles and I'll keep one. And I'm like, you know what? No, I'm just going to give. He loves
it's
it that
Christmas.
Much. Yeah. Yeah, it's Christmas. Season he just, you know, he had a baby recently. I just want to, I want to give it all to this family, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the way.
A three pack of this on Amazon is $47.99.
Oh, okay. Jeez. So it's gone down.
But it's only still, like $3.
It's $3.
Four bottles.
It's $3.97 or
something. Yeah. Mm. Isn't that crazy?
Jesus, yeah.
But I think that
wait, 1.12 pounds, is that?
When we talk about sauces, I think the thing that people have to keep in mind is the calories are still really low. Like all the G Hughes sauces are under 20 calories.
But they're not zero.
Yeah. Most of them are under 15 for two tablespoons.
Sugar-free?
They're all sugar-free. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of them are sugar-free. That's a good benefit. And then some of them have more calories than others. Like Yum Yum sauce, they call it a dipping sauce. So you just want to dip stuff in it,
yeah.
You know, like dip a wing in it and eat it or whatever. So some of them are dipping sauces and some of them are not, right? Mm-hmm. But I also use Yum Yum sauce as a salad dressing, which is amazing to make like a steak, chop up the steak and then toss it with some iceberg lettuce and some Yum Yum sauce is an amazing meal.
Party.
Yeah.
And oh my God.
If you're a fan of, what's the chicken restaurant chain?
Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A.
Famous clucking sauce.
So if you're a fan of the Chick-fil-A sauce, the G. Hughes clucking sauce is like identical but sugar-free.
Check this out. It's on my Instagram too. I made fried chicken with chicken thighs. And then I dipped it in egg wash, which is just, you take an egg and you just whip it a little bit in a bowl or whatever. Whip an egg in a bowl and then dip the chicken thighs in that and then dip those into pork panko, which is basically just crushed chicken, or crushed chicharrones, which are pork rinds. Mm-hmm. So it's crushed pork rinds that it almost is like a flour. And then you batter up the chicken and you cook the chicken in the foodie grill and then you dip it in the famous clucking sauce, and you basically have like a Chick-fil-A sandwich without the bread.
Why are you giving this information away for free? Are you crazy?
Because
we're going to make a cooking YouTube channel, and we're going to make we'll make a cookbook to go with it.
You got
to
say a freaking cookbook.
Yeah.
So you do like Doucette. That looks amazing.
Mark already named me Fat Greg Doucette the other day. He's like, you should just go on Instagram
and make a fat friggin' cookbook.
Make your new name like the Fat Greg Doucette. And that's like,
oh, that clucking sauce.
Yeah, but see, that's a way, so you don't need a lot of the clucking sauce. Clucking sauce is also kind of high in fat. So you literally measure out a couple tablespoons if you're that anal about it. You just measure out a couple tablespoons and just use that much.
Yeah, I kind of find it hard to follow a girl's story when they say anal. Like, if a guy says it, I can get through it and I can get past it just fine. But when a girl says they're really anal, my mind. So, just ladies, I just want you to just be aware. And I don't think I'm the only guy that thinks that. The second that you say that, like, it just leads us down a weird path.
Should I Google?
It is really anal,
just like plethora.
No. Oh yeah, plethora. Did you find it?
A large or excessive amount of something.
More. Meat than you can shake a stick at.
A plethora. Remember, those sayings are so weird. Like, what does that mean? More than you can shake a stick at? Because you could shake a stick at almost anything.
Yeah.
Unless you had
so
broken.
So much, you can't count it anymore.
I can't even shake a stick at this.
It's a lot.
Farmers controlled their sheep by shaking their staffs to indicate where the animals should go. When farmers had more sheep than they could control, it was said they had more than they can shake a stick
their
at.
Their shoulder got tired.
Probably have big delts.
That's actually a good. Okay, yeah. I got it. It's like I can't get rid of all these sheep. They're more than I can shake a stick at. So it's like, I got it.
There you go.
That makes sense. Yeah, what am I going to be out there shaking the stick all fucking day? Kidding me?
Guys, keep on going because I'm making an order real quick.
That's great.
Are you ordering the blowjob machine? Or are you ordering which thing are you ordering that we talked about?
Getting them both.
Will
you say unlimited blowjobs?
It's an 8-in-1. It's an air fryer and a.
Okay. Oh, never mind.
Well, that's how they advertise the thing. I'm sure. I'm sure it's not unlimited. You need batteries or power or something.
Yeah, nothing's perfect. What about counting calories? You mentioned calories just a little bit. Should anyone really bother, or like, let's say it's someone's first dive into the carnivore diet, maybe try the diet for a bit and don't count for a little while?
I think the biggest disconnect in all of nutrition, I think like over the past couple of years, you and I have been friends with Lane Norton for a long time, and I love Lane's content. And I think the problem is that people like take Lane's they want to either be a calorie guy or they want to be a carnivore guy or a keto guy and not count calories. And it's cool to not count calories. I think it's great to be somewhere in the middle. And I think, you know, when you're somewhere in the middle of that, where you're mindful, I would say be mindful of calories. They all do matter. They all are going to build up. You're going to get fatter if you eat more calories, bottom line. But do you need to track them? I think Nsema had a great point, and one of the things that had helped me over the years is actually Nsema told me, I don't track calories, but I did it in the beginning because it taught me how many calories are in things, how do I do this? And by knowing all that information, now I don't ever need to do it again. And I'm like, well, this guy's jacked and shredded. Let me just follow what he's doing. And after that conversation, I basically followed a lot of Lane Norton's information, and I've even like used his app, Carbon, and things like that to just try to like keep things in track. And those things are great. My Fitness Pal is free, and that's great. But I would even recommend, if you're really trying to hone in on something, use something a little bit more detailed, like Carbon app or something like that. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that you need it. But I think it's good to be mindful of these things and just keep eating all the right foods. You know, just stop with stop putting crap in your mouth. Bottom line is, if you do eat a carnivore diet, you can eat as much as you want. But I also agree with what you say is, like, if you really want to get lean, if getting lean is the goal, you're always going to have to be a little bit hungry. Nobody gets shredded and is like, I'm stuffed. You know, like, that just doesn't usually happen.
Dr. Ken Berry, I think, put out a challenge to people, and he said, you know, eat meat and eggs and, like, show me your weight gain. Like, it's not easy to gain weight off of that. Not saying that it can't be done.
I think Ken Berry's right. If you just stuck to meat and eggs and you had no cheese,
no butter,
no throwing in a bunch of other stuff, yeah, just left it at that, I think he's probably right. Because you get to a point where you get fatigued on those foods and you just can't eat anymore. What's really interesting is Quest Nutrition did a giant study with dogs. You know, they were trying to treat all these dogs for cancer. And what's kind of amazing is, like, they would feed these dogs meat every day. And you're like, well, the dog's never going to get sick of meat, right? Mm-hmm. After a while, they had to start sneaking stuff into their food and using different, like, you know, dog sauces, I guess, like different things to make the dogs eat the food or switch the kind of meat. Like, maybe they had to add some fish in. Maybe they had to add some broccoli in to like a meat diet. Mm-hmm. Like, because the dogs would have food aversions. So even a dog will get sick of the same food over and over and
a
over.
A dog again will, like, eat grass. Like, they'll do other stuff. They'll try to find nutrients from wherever they can.
Oh, that's your dog.
Oh, yeah, my dog.
Well, yeah, and dogs eat grass when they get pretty sick.
I think they eat grass. I think it helps them digest stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Did you discover anything about yourself or about the amount of food you were eating when you started tracking it? Like, you were surprised about what were you, like, surprised about?
Like, holy shit, that's a lot of calories I eat. You know, like that. Just things where you wouldn't think that there are that many calories in it. Like, I'll give you a good example. Like, I have a sweet tooth and I'm like a candy fiend, right? And, like, any sort of, like, I don't know, Skittles or something like that, you would think that they don't have that many calories and, like, oh, they're all just carbohydrates, but they're so densely packed into those little Skittles that they end up being a lot of calories. And that's why you can't, even though it's just carbohydrates, you could eat, like, probably four bowls of popcorn before you could eat, like, a king size bag of Skittles, right? Like, it's the amount of calories is crazy. The disparity in the amount of calories, because it's so dense and packed with sugar. So I learned that for myself to be more full, I had to eat foods that were more filling. And by eating foods that were more filling, it becomes more fulfilling to you in a couple ways. In a way where
it be- I like that.
Yeah.
Say that again, Chris. Say that again.
I forgot what I said.
Damn it. Filling and fulfilled.
Yeah. So you eat foods that are more filling, it becomes more fulfilling to you because you feel good.
That's a bar.
Yeah, that's a bar. You feel good, and it's a fulfilling in a way, like, it will fill your stomach, but it also fulfills your soul because you start feeling better, you start feeling stronger, you start, you know.
You do need to kind of blend in there, and I know like the way you're using the word fulfillment, but there does need to be some satisfaction in there. So things that are filling could be like a chicken breast, but a chicken breast might not fulfill you. You might not be super satisfied with that, although you might be satiated. Mm-hmm. It's not going to really knock into any of the pleasure sensors. So dumping sauces on it or finding something, like, most of the food you're eating, even when you're on a diet, you should still be in search a little bit of some sort of pleasure. You don't want your foods to be boring and you don't want to be dreading it. If you start to dread it, then that's when you have to think, how can I be creative and cook something different? Oh, maybe I'll make those panko chicken thighs, or maybe I'll make chicken wings, or maybe you just figure out a way to maybe mix it up.
And what I also meant by the fulfilling part is that by doing no carbs till Christmas, I did the entire month of December with no carbs all the way up until Christmas Eve. Mm-hmm. And, by doing that, it got rid of my sweet tooth. Like, I don't have it right now. I don't have it anymore.
Your palate changes.
Yeah. And so I went all the way until Christmas Eve. And then shout out to our boy, Matthew Balcom, who's a super fan. Mm-hmm. He sent us all this really expensive, like, nice chocolate. Oh, and I just kept thinking, like, well, I got to give this away to somebody because I'm not going to eat it. I don't eat this stuff, but thank you, Matt, whatever I was thinking. Then I'm like, you know what? That guy sent it to us. I'm going to eat it. Mm-hmm. And I ate it and it was really, really good. Mm-hmm. And I ate it all at once, by the way. It was really good. And it was fulfilling because it filled that one itch that I had, but then I also realized, like, well, I'm doing so good, I got to jump right back on it. So my next meal after all that chocolate was, like, you know, hours later, obviously, it was like a steak because I felt like okay, well, I've done no carbs till Christmas. Now I've eaten a bunch of carbs, but like, I don't really want any more. Like, it was weird. I didn't get to a point. Usually on diets, I get to a point where I'll do something like that. Like, and then the Christmas will come around, I'll blow it all because I'll gain back the 10 pounds that I just lost over the past couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. This time was different, and I don't know why. Things are clicking a little bit differently in my head. Maybe it's because of everybody's being so concerned about their health. I've been doing my blood work a lot lately. Like, my blood work's been excellent. Mm-hmm. All these, like, my HDL cholesterol is 96, and my doctor has no idea. Like, he's like, I don't see anybody that high on an HDL cholesterol. Doesn't mean that it's necessarily always great, because my LDL is also higher than they want it to be. But my HDL is cranked, my vitamin D is cranked, and all these things are doing well. So I'm like, well, why ruin this? I'm on a good run right here, so let's just keep it going.
Why do you think people have health concerns when it comes to like something like the carnivore diet, especially some of the people that say it to us? A lot of times they're not in very good shape.
It's an excuse.
And they're coming from a place where they haven't really dieted before, yeah. I don't think.
It's the excuse of distraction, right? It's a distraction. You're going to tell me the answer. How can I distract you from actually doing it? Like, mm-hmm. I want to make a change. When I was an alcoholic, I would say every day, like, I just want to tell my brother, like, if I could just tell Mark that if I could just tell him I'm an alcoholic, he'll say, well, Boar, like, we got to fix this. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I wanted to tell you. But the reason I couldn't tell you, and I ended up telling Lauren instead, was like, I kind of didn't want to quit doing it.
Right.
And I think that that's the same with diet. Is that people?
Where's the science? They say every time, right?
I'd love to tell Smelly I'm addicted to food, but I can't bring myself to do it because then he's going to keep an eye on me, and every time I'm with him, he's going to bother me about what I'm eating. So mm-hmm. damn it, I can't do it. Like, that's how I felt about drinking, and I think a lot of people feel the same way about diet. Mm-hmm. Our Uncle George, shout out to him. He's recovering from a neck surgery, and I've been trying to help him a lot. And I keep going back to the same thing with him. Hey, buddy, carnivore diet can really help you. And he comes back with the excuse I gave you in the beginning, was like, what else can I eat? And not to be a knock on him, we're trying to help him out here. He wants to know if he can have protein shakes. And what I'm trying to explain to him is like, a protein shake isn't that filling. So you're putting yourself in the same bad food cycle in a way, right? Like a protein shake once in a while to fulfill your protein needs would be great. Like, you know, you have a steak mm-hmm. shake, things like that, it'd be great. But during this World Carnivore Month, those things aren't that filling, and you're just going to eat more food in general, right? So it's just going to add more food to you, more whatever. And I know it's just...
If it can hold him over up until he gets to a meal.
I know it's just protein. So I'm like, yes, you can have it, mm-hmm. but understand that your results will be better the closer you get to meat and water.
Yeah. What happens is people have like 2 or 3 protein shakes in a day. And they'll eat like kind of a minimal amount of food because they're trying to lose weight. Mm-hmm. It might lose a little bit.
There's no thermic effect.
But there's very little thermic effect. But they're also really behind on their calories. And when it comes towards the end of the week, they're going to be very weak. They're not going to be able to mm-hmm. stick to the diet as easily as opposed to if they just ate a little bit more food, they'd have more nutrients and more nutrition so they can stay more solid and stay more sound. Because this game is always about how long can you actually play it for.
Yeah. And that's the one thing I've been trying to figure out myself is like, today when I woke up, I had a decision to make. Should I eat or should I not eat? And I decided to not eat today. But, you know, like I said, I fasted the past 2 days. So today before noon, after we finish this, I'll probably eat something just to not intermittent fast for a long, long periods of time every day. Because I feel what will happen to me is I'm not feeling it right now, but in 3 or 4 days from now, if I keep doing the same thing, I'll burn out and I'll probably binge and I'll probably, you know, mess up everything I was doing. But I also feel World Carnivore Month, the reason I want everybody to join in this year is I feel like we protect each other. Like you're looking out for each other. You're helping each other. And if you could just get through this month, there might be something big around the corner for you. Because when I first started a carnivore diet, I could barely move. Like I couldn't do anything. I sucked in the gym. I was back in the gym because I was taking kratom and stuff, but you remember I wasn't really squatting or deadlifting mm-hmm. at all. So
and now you can just do it on a whim pretty much. You feel good enough almost every day to go.
I feel good enough to where I could lift pretty much every day. And I think that that's a huge difference, especially because a lot of these exercises were using a good amount of weight. You know, mm-hmm. it's like not the same weights as when we're younger, but we're, you know, using pretty hefty amounts of weight that a lot of people, you know, wish they could lift. So to me, that's like, you got to be, you know, you got to be fueled up and you got to be ready to go.
How often do you snack, Chris?
I don't snack at all, really, except for eating cheese while I'm cooking.
Okay, no, that's good.
That's
a big deal.
And you mess with popcorn here and there, but yeah, that's so usually like after dinner.
I should say that, like, this is interesting. I was realizing this yesterday. My whole mindset has changed since I started doing no carbs till Christmas. Every single day, I would like eat during the day, and then I would eat only protein during the day, usually. Maybe a little bit of fat during the day, but mostly just protein, like Piedmontese steaks throughout the day. And then at night, I would go home and have these extravagant, like, fruit and popcorn and meat, you know, like dinner. Like, it'd be dinner, and then it'd be like dessert the rest of the night. It'd be like pop, like sometimes 2-3 bowls of giant bowls of popcorn I'd eat, you know, in a night. That was like snacking, you know, those were snacks. And I
But
find,
you're not going through your day snacking.
No, not. It was all like at once, but it was like, it's kind of like
a meal.
Kind of like snacky food. It might have been considered a meal by some, but I find that now I find myself like I was having a lot of trouble sleeping. I think a big part of the reason I was having trouble sleeping, I was eating popcorn and then trying to go like right to bed, you know, things like that. And so now I've stopped eating like a good amount of time before I lay down to go to bed.
That's made a difference for your sleep.
It's been a huge difference for my sleep. Like And also, I think just getting dark early, like now that it gets dark early, that's a huge bonus for me for my sleep. Like I can get to bed early. Mm-hmm. It gets dark at like 6 o'clock. And if you can go to bed at like 8 o'clock, I mean, you can wake up real early easily.
Yeah. I ask you that because like a lot of people, especially coming into the new year, I think that if we can figure out the simplest things that are going to help people get a better handle on their nutrition that aren't impeding too much on their lifestyle, we can help a lot of people out. And one of those big things that we've talked about a lot is snacking, because people feel like they need to eat a meal, then a snack. But these snacks, if you're counting, and even if you're not counting, but if you do count, you can be eating 600, 700, 800 calories of just like nuts or healthy snacks or whatever. And if you just took out the idea that I'm just not going to snack, that when I eat, it's going to be when I eat food.
Yeah.
You will cut out so many random unnecessary calories from your day that it'll help move you in that right direction.
Yeah, we eat like 15 times a day on average, right? So most people are like, no way, I only eat 3 times a day and I have like one snack. And it's like,
every time you have calories.
Like going to Starbucks in the morning. So I already ate today because I went to Starbucks in the morning, basically, right? But I don't consider
that.
What'd
you get?
I just got a latte, Americano, whatever, with heavy cream.
Okay.
There's no carbs in it.
Mm-hmm. It had like 200 calories or something.
Yeah, but it's probably 150 to 200 calories of heavy cream, you know.
But most people would have, you know, like 800 calories and have stuff on the side, but they wouldn't consider it a meal. Like, no, it's just something I grabbed on the way to work.
Yeah. It also would be something that would encourage hunger rather than discourage hunger, which was a choice that you made this morning. You can kind of argue that having like fat and coffee is something that has been used by a lot of people, like bulletproof coffee style things. It pushes your hunger off, so your next meal probably won't be until 3 p.m., 4 p.m., something like that.
Yeah, another great thing to do is at night, first of all, the steak shake already tastes like hot chocolate, so the steak shake's great to use. You could use Slingshot protein. You can use whatever you want, but this is, again, going to be like a protein shake, which I don't normally advise, but if you're having a problem staying full, you can always just whip up like a chocolate protein shake and throw it in the microwave for like a minute. And it comes out like hot chocolate. If it's a good protein, like we have, you know, you have good hydrolyzed Slingshot protein. It mixes up real good. Mix it up real good. Microwave it. It tastes pretty damn good. And it's like something that you can kind of sit and watch Netflix and sip on rather than like, you know, if you just make a protein shake, you're just going to down it. It's going to be gone. So it's kind of nice to have something to sip on. So that's another thing. But also, you had mentioned on my podcast that you can make bone broth too. And bone broth's like a great thing to have like at night and just, you know, sort of sip on as you're watching TV or whatever. Still gives that same feeling of like, okay, I'm sticking something in my mouth while I'm watching TV, but it's not, it's not bad for you.
One thing I'm going to mention about the snacking thing is like, first off, none of us are snacking on anything during the day, but a big thing is like, you want to, if you do start snacking on stuff, maybe track that. Okay, if you're not going to track all your other food, just maybe try to track the snacks that you typically eat. Yeah, and then just see how many calories from snacks am I eating a day? Because a lot of people, like, they'll use almonds or nuts or whatever, and it's healthy, but it's also very easy to overdo things that you're grabbing handfuls of.
Yeah,
go ahead.
You've helped a lot of people lose weight when you are trying to help somebody lose some weight, and you're going to put them in a caloric deficit. I know it depends on how much mm-hmm. weight they want to lose, but someone who just is looking to, I don't know, drop 10, 12, 15 pounds, somewhere in that range, where does a caloric deficit usually start? I'm imagining it's probably not that high because you don't want them to have fatigue and run into issues, right?
It's not that high, but also it comes from changing certain habits in terms of their lifestyle. Most people don't walk, right? Once you get people walking 8,000 to 10,000 steps a day.
There's energy out, looking at it from a different perspective, yeah.
Right? And then most people do snack. So once you say, hey, just let's use like things like coffee, maybe some protein or whatever, so you can push your appetite down later so you're not having to eat all day long. Take out the snacks, walk a little bit more. The workouts don't need to be excessive because doing excessive workouts is a big change in habit that makes it very difficult. But you can just walk and do a simple workout multiple times a week. You're already going to be moving yourself into a deficit because of habits. You don't even have to necessarily track. And then I was going to say also, we don't have them on the desk, but those Fairlife protein shakes.
Oh, like, man. Those are great.
It's not fasting, but in the morning sometimes, if I'm like, okay, I know I can feel like I'm going to be a bit hungry today, I'll down two of those. That's 60 grams of protein. And I'll have some coffee. Coffee helps me suppress my appetite, but I've just had protein, not fasting, but it does make the rest of the day easier. And that protein doesn't mess with any of my goals. My goal is still to get 200 something grams of protein. If anything, it moves me in that direction. My appetite is suppressed until the end of the day and I'm good.
Yeah. I think protein shakes are great. My only caveat to it is that people undereat their actual food, like Mark was saying. That's my only issue with it. So I try to tell people, like, try to stay away from it. But if you really need it to get through, or you need like a hot chocolate at the end of the night, like, that's a way better choice than something else that you would eat, you know? So I think they have their use, but I also think that, like, on the carnivore month, that people should try to do as close to meat and water as they can get, and then utilize these other things and not consider them cheating, because you don't want to beat yourself up over it. Just consider it like, I'm trying to go as close to the meat and water idea as I can get, but I need a couple little things to carry me through. Like, personally, I need coffee. I don't know if I could do it. I shouldn't say I can't, but I don't know if I could do it without having a coffee in the morning, because that's like the one thing that, not that I even need the caffeine. I just like I like the ritual of it, like going to get a coffee and putting my electrolytes in it and having this sort of hot chocolate like coffee in the morning.
Talk about the electrolytes for a second, because we haven't talked about that much. Now, you mentioned meat and water, but when a lot of people start going carnivore, they're going to notice that their electrolyte balance is off. They're going to notice some dehydration. They're going to notice that they're not getting as good pumps in the gym.
A lot of times it results in going to the bathroom every 5 seconds. Mm-hmm. With a fountain shooting out your butt. Mm-hmm. So the carnivore diet is definitely, you could definitely use some electrolytes in your diet on a carnivore diet. You can use like Element or any of those kind of electrolyte drinks. Mm-hmm. What's the other one? Keto, there's a Keto Vitals. There's a bunch of different brands that make electrolytes, but your body's going to dump all that stuff, no pun intended, when you're not eating carbohydrates. Your body's just going to start, getting rid of all that stuff, and it's got to go somewhere. So a lot of times it results in you having, diarrhea, like carnivore diarrhea. And some ways to avoid that are to take in your electrolytes. Another way that you might be able to avoid that or hamper it a little bit is to use something like I said, iceberg lettuce or something with a little bit of fiber in it. Like, the one thing is, like, I don't want anybody doing this and getting to the point where they're so sick or they're on the toilet all the time that they can't get through it. So if you can't get through it, figure out your way through it. Seriously though, like, have an apple, have a salad, have whatever to get yourself through it, and then go right back to the meat, right? And then just keep doing that. Your body will get used to it after a while, but supplementing with electrolytes during that time definitely helps. And having something other than just straight meat can definitely help.
Yeah, can you talk more about the carneria? You know, the fountain.
Real quick, because we talked about Piedmontese
and Element,
so we got to let the people know how to get it real quick.
Yeah, absolutely. So Piedmontese, best beef in the freaking world. It's over at Piedmontese.com. It's Piedmontese.com. At checkout, enter promo code POWERPROJECT for 25% off your entire order. And if your order is $150 or more, you get free 2-day shipping. So you guys don't have to wait too long to start World Carnivore Month. But yeah, links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes.
Also, you're wearing some sick Viore pants over there, and I think you got some on today, too.
And these aren't Viore, sadly.
I only have these on because I got them for Christmas.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding.
Let me see those.
These are actually sick. Mark got me a bunch of these.
I can't see them. Take them off.
Oh, Mark bought me a couple pairs of Viores for Christmas.
Damn. Yeah.
So now I can be on his level.
Mark, which ones are those? Well, just send me the name of those pants.
And
I like
bought
those
me
pants.
A sick-ass jacket, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nice
I like
jacket.
The way those pants look. So I need to know the name so I can purchase it.
They have some amazing stuff on their website. You gotta poke around a bunch though. But they have. I was on there forever, mm-hmm. but they have a lot of amazing stuff.
Yeah, I got my wife some of the leggings and one of the tops, and she's just like, dude, it feels. What did she say? Damn it! I was like, in comparison to like any of the other ones that you own, she's like, these are like buttery, and I was like, Okay.
Yeah, and then she looks hotter for you too.
Yeah, it's a win-win for everybody. Yeah, keep winning.
I remember, I think like, I don't know, a year or two ago, I tried on like a Viore shirt. And like, mm-hmm. as soon as I tried it on, I'm like, that's what I got you for Christmas that year, is a Viore shirt. I'm like, he's got to feel this and then he'll buy everything that they make.
Which and he did.
Does now.
Yeah, yeah. You guys don't have to buy everything, but if you wanted to give them a shot, your first order will be 20% off if you go to VioriClothing.com/PowerProject. That's VUORI. clothing.com/powerproject. No code needed. You guys will see a banner across the top saying that your order is eligible for 20% off. Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes. Can we talk about that carneria though?
Yeah. I do have some advice for people if they want to do a little digging on their own. Carnivore Aurelius, is that his name?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he wrote a pretty good article, in-depth article about the carnivore diarrhea, so you can look that up. And also, there's a guy named, I want to say his name is Dr. Kiltz, like K-I-L-T-Z. And he's got a pretty good explanation of the carnivore diarrhea and what could be possibly at play and how to fix it. And he's much more of an expert than I am on it. So I think, you know, the main thing that we need to know is that there is a shift in the gut microbiome. And that's what usually causes that. And the way to fix that is to eat foods that can help correct that. Is that Dr. Kiltz?
No, this is Carnivore Aurelius.
Is his name actually Aurelius, or did he just do that as the play on Marcus Aurelius?
No, like his like Twitter account and stuff has Marcus Aurelius.
He's like a stoic carnivore guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's funny. Definitely.
So it's going to say like changes in your microbiome, that you dump electrolytes, you know, what is diarrhea?
Well, first of all, people should know that whenever you embark on any sort of diet, your stomach will change a little bit, your poop will change because people will get constipated on this diet sometimes too. Mm-hmm. But it's just a drastic change from what they are currently doing. So you're over a period of time, you'll get more regular though. And what you'll find is that when your nutrition is on point, you'll poop around the same time every day. What you'll find when you're not on point with your diet is that you'll shit randomly, like throughout the entire day.
Yeah.
If you're currently shitting like multiple times a day, I know some people have different issues and stuff. That is not good. That is a sign that like something is probably most likely off. And I know some people listening are like, I've always been that way. But you shouldn't, in my opinion, you shouldn't be that way. That's something to look into. Once you get your diet kind of corrected and once you're eating foods that are a little bit more friendly to you, then your poop, you'll have a better poop schedule.
Yeah.
But also it's a shift of water. It's a water displacement is basically what's happening. So people make up for that in many different ways. Some people have a fiber supplement. Some people just choose to eat some vegetables here and there.
A great way to do it is to not bombard yourself. Like, don't eat like a pig on New Year's Eve and expect to go into World Carnivore Month and just eat meat and not have diarrhea. Mm-hmm. You're going to blow out all that stuff you ate. So if you do have a big night on, you know, New Year's and you want to start World Carnivore Month, maybe just start a little bit slower. Maybe have like, maybe the first couple days have a salad or have some greens or have something that can, you know, help to do that. Or just like roll the dice, you know, play a little chicken and see what happens in it. And just see if you don't get diarrhea, then just continue to do it. But if you do, then know that you can have a salad or have something that's going to help fix the gut microbiome. Actually, a really good thing to have to fix your stomach is if it gets really bad is just some white rice. And you can just eat a little bit of white rice. And I know it's sacrilegious to a lot of carnivores out there. They're like, oh my God. But it's the one thing that like absorbs things and can really help your...
It's not a big deal, yo.
No, it's not that big of a deal. That's what I'm trying to tell people. Yeah. A rice and bananas can... And a banana could like really fix, you know, stop diarrhea banana almost.
Be like a
track.
Plug.
No, not like that. You got to eat it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of hard banana. But one other thing to do, guys, to actually allow yourself to be able to stick with this is we talked about snacking, but also kind of you need to kind of raid your pantry right now before. If you're going to do World Carnivore Month and you want to stick with it, you need to raid your pantry a little bit and get rid of things that you're going to find yourself craving and then caving to. Because if there's like some granola bars or something or these foods that you're typically going to binge on in your cabinets, and then you're inevitably going to get a craving for some type of sweet like some type of super palatable carbohydrate. I'm not talking about rice. I'm talking about things that you generally snack on and overeat, and it's right there.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really hard thing for you to stick to eating that freaking Hop Dottie patty from Piedmontese rather than going and eating six granola bars because you've been craving it.
I agree 100%. I think that's the key. Is like I don't have hardly, because I'm by myself, I don't have anything at my house. I have a freezer full of Piedmontese and a refrigerator full of G. Hughes sauces and some eggs. And that's about all I have all the time at my house. And I don't really keep anything else there. I have some olive oil and some balsamic vinegar in case I want to have a salad, you know, and the rest of it's just like basically meat and water in the fridge, you know.
Learn how to cook, you know, take some time to like learn how to cook. And there's carnivore cookbooks out there. Maria Emmerich has a book out. There's a couple other people that have books on the topic.
I think that's the best book on the carnivore diet overall. Maria and Craig Emmerich's book called The Carnivore Cookbook. And the reason I say that, there's a couple other great books. Sean Baker has a great book. Paul Saladino has a great book. What the Emmerichs did is made it into a manual that you could basically open up on January 1st and start the carnivore diet and just, you know, rip through a bunch of really cool, interesting recipes. And but what they did that's really interesting to me is the first 100 to 150 pages is all like a really simple outline of what the carnivore diet is and why it works and why it could be effective for you. And I think it's on a reading level that's like, if you were in middle school, you could understand it. Like, I'm not saying it's dumb by any means. It's a really smart book, but it just had all this information that when I first started carnivore, I had no idea why anyone would really, you know, if I had no idea how to do this diet at all or why it worked, this would answer all those questions, you know, because they say like, well, why, like, how can you just eat meat? Don't you need vitamins and minerals? And, you know, in the carnivore cookbook, it has charts and it says, here's how many minerals are in beef and chicken and, you know, all these other things. And you realize like, oh, I can get everything I need from just eating the meat, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think also too, by eliminating a lot of junk in your diet, then you probably don't really need the things that they used to think that you needed. People talked a lot about like antioxidants and people used to talk about, you know, vitamin C and all these different things. And like, it turns out when you don't eat as many carbohydrates, you don't need as much vitamin C. And there's a lot of other things that work that way in your body. Do you think it's important for people to supplement with like liver, or should they eat these things or just get a capsule or something like that?
I still haven't come to a real conclusion on that. Like, I've done the whole thing where I've eaten, you know, raw liver for a month straight. I felt good while I was doing it, but it didn't, there was no Superman effect. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm that much stronger. And just like there was no Superman effect, there's no, you know, there's no bad effect when I don't do it. So I'm just kind of...
Or something that you didn't notice, yeah.
I'm kind of mixed on it. I don't notice it at all. You know, Sean Baker will tell you that he eats muscle meat and he kicks ass on all his lifting and his rowing and all the stuff that we've ever seen him do. He seems fine. Paul Saladino is in great shape. He's pretty ripped. He eats organs all the time and does really great on what he does. So it's really hard to like, you know, take anybody as an example and be like, well, this guy does it and this guy doesn't do it. A lot of the more experts, like more the people that have been deep into the carnivore diet that are like the real, real experts, like Amber O'Hearn. Amber O'Hearn, I believe, like just, I think she might eat some organs here and there, but she doesn't really care for them. And so I think that like she's been doing it for over 10 years and doesn't stress that they're ultra important. She just kind of stresses you can have them if you like them kind of thing. So it's, you got to try it for yourself and see. I don't think there's any definitive proof either way that you develop any sort of deficiency if you didn't have organs. But is there an argument from Saladino that it could be more optimal? Maybe.
I will. Okay. So I have a question for you both, because like we've had a lot of people on this podcast who've come on and talked about the importance of EPA and DHAs that you typically be getting from fish. I don't eat a lot of fish, so I do supplement with EPA and DHAs. Especially if someone's doing carnivore and let's say they don't want to eat salmon or anything like that, that's something that I would say that you should try to supplement, because you will feel a little bit better and you'll get rid of some potential deficiencies. Vitamin D. What else would be some supplements that you would suggest that people take generally?
Yeah, so I take, I definitely take vitamin D.
Mm-hmm.
As
far as dosages, like in terms of vitamin D, I'll do like 30,000 IUs, 20 or 30,000 IUs a day. And if I forget, then I'll just do like 50,000 on a specific day if I forget to take it.
Well, my vitamin D was like in the high 80s or 90s. It was like in the 80s or 90s. It was high.
It was a good level. Yeah.
It was a good level. And I don't take much at all. I take like 1 5,000 milligram tablet a day. I don't believe in.
Do you get outside and get sun? You do, right?
Yeah. But I also don't believe in overdosing on vitamins. Like it might be like your body just gets rid of it and you don't use it, but I just like to take, I used to be a big overdoser on everything. Like it says, take one, I'll take three right away.
You know,
like
depends on the one.
And lately, I've just learned to be like, all right, just take the dose that they say to take and see how that goes. Cause I've been trying to work with my TRT doctor and my other doctor, Gabrielle Lyon, to get some of my numbers, like, you know, to be all in the right range. And sometimes one's a little bit high and one's a little bit low. And I find that when I do this crazy supplementation, I was taking crazy amounts of vitamin D. And then when Stan checked my blood work, my calcium was through the roof. Because I was taking so much vitamin D that it turns into calcium. And it shows up as calcium in your system somehow. Like it raises your calcium levels if you take too much vitamin C. And that... Or vitamin D, yeah. And that is what clogs your heart, clogs your arteries, right? So you don't want that to be super high. So I'm not saying that you're going to clog your arteries taking 30,000 milligrams, but it's something that we should be cognizant of and look out for, you know?
I got to look that up. I've literally never heard anybody say that before.
I never did either until I talked to Stan, you know? Because Stan looked at my blood work and says, you take a lot of vitamin D, don't you? And he was like laughing. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll take like, you know, like 5 or 6 of those a day. And he's like, yeah, stop.
Here's, you know, some of the truth, right? Like, when it comes to food, we can make the analogy of like processed food isn't great for us. Foods that are broken down, such as like fruit and then turned to juice, those aren't great for us, right? But when it comes to vitamins and minerals, for some reason, we don't think that way because we automatically associate them with being good for us. But if you take like magnesium or you're taking something, you're taking it and it's in its extracted form. Like it's not in its original form anymore. So if you can get it from, you know, a shellfish or from liver or from kidney or from those things are going to always be superior in my opinion. And
the absorption is huge.
I think that the body just doesn't, it's hard to trick our bodies. I'm not saying that vitamins and minerals are bad. I just think that if you took all the information that you could ever possibly find on vitamins and minerals, it would be 50-50 on whether people think they do anything or on whether people think they do something.
I actually don't think they do much of anything.
But the belief system, though, is a really important thing. So if there's a placebo effect going on there,
it can help. Well, the reason I say that is like we can see it manifest itself in the blood work, but does it actually make you healthier? Like, does having a high vitamin D level on a blood test actually make you healthier? Or like we talk about this all the time, does health drive the vitamin D level or does vitamin D drive the health level?
We have people that we know that got their blood work done pretty religiously and they're dead. You know, like they heart attacks and different things creeped up. There's not always a sign. You know, the blood work is great. It's a great marker, and it is something that people should look into because you can knock off some really simple stuff by being aware, and you can make some different lifestyle changes. But a lot of times you're not going to know because it's just a snapshot, and it's just your blood. There's stuff going on in your spine, your central nervous system. There's stuff going on in your brain. We don't have that information quite yet, and it'll be nice when we can get a whole synopsis of what the hell's really going on in your body.
Yeah, it's really, really a complex thing. You can't just boil it down to like one thing and say that's over. You know, I like getting my blood work done, but also at the same time, I find it to be a little maddening. Like, I almost don't like it because it's like, ah, this is off now. This is off. And it's like you can never just nail it. Like,
yeah,
nailed it, you know, and then you walk out like, you know, all happy. It just never seems to happen that way. So the same, I found the same thing that with like a keto diet. So to do a real ketogenic diet, you have to test your blood ketones every single day. They need to be above 0.5 basically to consider yourself in nutritional ketosis. And I would do that like two or three times a day. But every time I checked and I wasn't in ketosis, I would think I'm doing something wrong, but it's just not. It's not like that. So a lot of times when I check my blood work, I'm also careful to not put too much into it because I don't think it's like the be all end all, but I think it is very important.
Yeah, if you were to check some blood work of some people that exercise pretty regularly, a lot of times their blood work in certain areas will be off in comparison to somebody that doesn't do anything. And I'm not saying one would be healthier than the other, but what I'm saying is like there's things like your creatine levels and there's these different things that sometimes can be really thrown off by just somebody exercising because there could be inflammation that might be throwing some of the testing off.
I think a lot of things throw the testing off. Example, like for testosterone replacement therapy, my levels just on like 200 milligrams of testosterone was 3,100. My doctor's like, what the hell's going on with you? And I was just taking the dose that they recommended.
Yeah,
the
yeah, sure.
My dose was out of control. So we cut my dose in half. And then I went back and got my blood work done just 3 weeks later. And it was 505. So it's like, I just think that such a discrepancy in all the testing. And then when you get it tested. So the first time I got tested the day after I took a shot, the second time I got tested, I got blood taken like on the fourth day after taking a shot.
Okay.
So it's like, that makes more sense, but that's pretty crazy that it varies that much, you know?
Well, I mean, that is crazy. That is really crazy.
So it's like, it's hard to put too much faith in it is what I'm saying. It's good to know the numbers, but I don't put a lot of stock in it.
Since people are also going to be, we've talked about sleep on other podcasts, but in this one, we should definitely mention it because being able to stick to any new diet protocol, if you're not getting good sleep, that's going to affect how you act during your day and how it's going to affect your willpower and your cravings and all of that. So with that being said, how do you take care of your sleep pretty much? What are you doing?
I was having a really, really hard time with sleep, and I honestly think it was due to food, the way that I was eating. Mm-hmm. Stacking those carbohydrates at night, I thought was a great idea, and like, I'll just sit around and like, you know, at night and watch whatever's new on Netflix and eat a bunch of popcorn, right? And then I would do that, and I'd be all amped up through the night, wouldn't be able to sleep, and I don't know, for whatever reason, now just being on this like meat diet, I basically did, like I said, no carbs till Christmas, which is basically carnivore with a couple little keto things thrown in here and there. Mm-hmm. But since I started doing that and shutting down my food, I find that a good tip to give to everybody, and we hear this all the time, but just stopping eating, you know, about 2 to 3 hours before you actually try to go to sleep. Yeah. It's just a really good idea. A lot of times I'm like, all these experts, like, they don't know what they're talking about. And I'll just disregard the advice like that, right? But that's something that I found that really, really helped me is to just listen to the advice and, you know, stop eating and go to bed at a certain time. That also puts limits on you. Like if I have to get all my food in by 8 p.m., well, shit, when like 7:30, I better be cooking, you know? Mm-hmm. And if I'm not, then I miss out for the rest of the night. And you just have, I find that making mindset rules are really important. The reason I said I was kind of mad at myself. You get upset at yourself and go, you know what? I'm too damn fat. I'm like, no carbs till Christmas. And I just said it one day. And then I'm like, you know what? It's November or is December 1st. I'm like, I'm going to do it from now until, you know, the end of the month. No carbs till Christmas. Let's go. And so it's not that the carbohydrate has any negative bad effect. It's just like, it's more of a warrior mentality. The war on carbs, everybody has like taken it and they take it literally. Like, oh, you need to have a war on carbs. But if you launched a war on carbs, you're like, I'm not going to have any intentional carbohydrates for the next month. And you just launch that in your head, you stick to the plan that, that you've developed. And a lot of times if you're like, well, it's not a war, like, it's not a war on carbs. Like, there's a truce on carbs. Well, I'll just let some carbs slip in here, some carbs slip in there. So I think making these little mental, you know, like, I think carnivore month is more of like a mentality. It's not like, we've found through researching the carnivore diet and watching people do it, that if you have a salad, it's not going to hurt your back. You know, if you have an apple, it's probably not going to hurt your knee. We hear a lot of people saying those things anecdotally. I think I've had more chronic pain than almost anybody out there to know whether or not something affects me or not in a negative way. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of these small little things do on a small quantity basis.
Of course.
So I think that we know that carnivore isn't saying you only have to eat meat, but you mainly eat meat. You know, it's a really, really high percentage, right? So that's why I say, like, I don't like to be super dogmatic about all this stuff. I just like to use the carnivore mindset as like a more of a mental note. Every day when you wake up, you're like, oh yeah, it's carnivore month. I got to stick to this thing I'm doing. I can't let anybody down. And if you don't have that, then maybe you don't have that little voice in your head that you need.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, life can be difficult enough for a lot of people. And when it comes to nutrition, it seems to be a riddle for a lot of people. But if you just do some of the things that we mentioned here today, like if you were to get rid of snacks, we could say that that could be like 300 to 500 calories, depending on the person. If you were to, go to bed, or not go to bed earlier necessarily, but stop eating earlier before you go to bed, you might be nixing another 300 to 500 calories. If you're hitting up a couple of walks every single day, you might be burning 150 to 300 calories, depending on how fast you walk and how far you walk. You might have right there, you might have shifted things in your favor. And now if you're lifting, you are building muscle mass, which is going to help increase your metabolism because you have muscle on your body that is going to chew up and require calories down the road. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, if you're getting good sleep, we just know that sleep is going to help with your decision-making skills kind of over and over again. And just to touch upon some of the other stuff that we went through, Chris said that he uses the Ninja Foodie. That's like he doesn't really cook many other ways. He likes to eat steak, hamburgers, hot dogs. Hey, yo.
Do you eat hey, yo.
I got a video.
Chop them up.
Yeah, I got a video for you.
How are those scissors that I got you? Are those doing anything or are they crappy?
You know what? I don't know how to use them. I tried to use them. They didn't cut through the meat all the way.
Yeah, they're kind of weird, but it looked like a good idea. So I was like, I should get these, but maybe not.
I don't think I think in execution, they cut through the meat almost. They're like supposed to be like meat scissors. Oh, but by the way, that's something that you need to share with everybody. You cut up your meat with scissors. It's way easier to cook and it's way easier to eat. It's
way better.
And well, people think it's weird.
So one of the key things is you cook the meat up, or you cut the meat up before you cook it. And when you cut it up that way, first of all, it's way easier to eat later on, but you get to put seasoning on like every little piece rather than like it just being on the top. That's and just good. Being on the bottom.
It also sears all the sides.
Mm-hmm. More surface there.
Yeah, it's fucking delicious. And just this really simple, easy way to
What's a good,
eat your meat.
A good meat is the kebab meat from Piedmontese.
Yeah.
So what's interesting about the kebab meat is I was asking Joe from Piedmontese, I'm like, where does the kebab meat like come from? Is it, it's like so good. Is it like a filet? Is it like a ribeye? Like what part is it? He goes, actually, usually most people throw it away. Like it's like a byproduct. Usually it's like it's like a thing that, on like most like companies, they like disregard it. But Piedmontese has figured out a way to make it into a delicious.
Yeah.
He said it was a byproduct, which is usually just like something they usually throw out. You know? Mm.
And it is hard to find like good meat cutting scissors, though. Remember I was talking about this?
Yeah. Just if you look up like cooking shears or something like that, you'll find.
Kitchen shears.
We have some that are really good. Yeah. I mean, we burn through them here and there because like, you know.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Because I haven't been able to find any.
They're not real expensive, but for scissors, I mean, it's kind of, I want to say 25, 30 bucks.
I have a great pair. that mm-hmm. came with like a set, but I forget. It's like one of those big companies that makes knives. Mm-hmm. So it came with my knife set, and it was like a pair of scissors that are specifically for the kitchen, and they're awesome. But I'll figure out the name and I'll get it to you.
This is what I told Mark a while back. Like, yeah, the only scissors that work really well come in sets. When you buy them separately, they're always dog shit. Like, they're like kind of like the scissors that they give like first graders. You know, like they don't want to cut too much. Mm. So
you ever try to cut the sleeves off of a shirt with bad scissors? There's no. Yeah. Trying to look all jacked and you look all raggedy.
Let's talk about some of these snacks that you've been making more recently, because we did talk about snacks in kind of a negative light, but what you're making, I guess, isn't necessarily even a snack. It's more like just like a treat, but it's still within the confines of carnivore diet, like a chaffle.
Yeah, so a chaffle would be in the confines of the carnivore diet. The reason I didn't talk about it that much is because I'm trying to sway people away from like getting hooked on a lot of dairy. But a chaffle would be fine during a carnivore diet and would be fine to eat during World Carnivore Month if it's something that you want or need. A chaffle is really simple. You just take 4 eggs and 1 cup of mozzarella cheese. I put them in the Ninja blender. I blend them up for like 20 seconds. And then I just pour it in a waffle maker. And it makes these amazing waffles that taste just like...
Damn. Yeah.
I mean, they just taste like regular waffles. You put butter on them and put a little sugar-free maple syrup on them, and they're bangers.
They peeps, really are good.
Peeps, this kind of shit can be fun. Like, because we're brothers, we get to spend a lot of time together. But, like, we've had, like, chaffle parties before. Mm-hmm. When we get together, we're just, like, cooking up a bunch of meat. And it's, like, kind of like
I've made chicken and chaffles before, too.
Yeah, and it's that was really good.
Sounds amazing.
Or that would be really good. But, you know, you can kind of bring in other family members into some of this stuff, and most of the people in your family, they probably like a lot of the meat and stuff you have.
This was incredible. It's on my Instagram too. That peanut butter right there, mm-hmm. that peanut butter is PB2 and sugar-free maple syrup, and it tastes like the inside of a Reese's Pieces. Mm-hmm. It is so good. So you just mix that together, and even if you didn't have the chaffle, you can mix that together and just eat a little bit of it.
Andrew just came in his pants.
No, I splooshed.
I mean,
it's amazing how it tastes together. You're like, I can't believe this.
I did, but I also do this with PB Fit and French toast all the time.
Yeah.
You throw some like maple syrup on it.
Yeah.
It's really good, right?
Yeah. You can use maple syrup or even just like the unflavored yogurt, the Greek yogurt, and just do it that way. But yeah, you still add syrup to it. It's so good. I put syrup on everything.
What about like and what kind of syrup do you use?
So I just use the like the Walmart brand sugar free syrup. It has like 15 calories for like 30 good. Milliliters you or something. Know, it's like nothing.
I have a bone to pick with Doucette and his Mrs. Butterworth Light. They don't sell it anywhere in America. Mm. It's a Canadian thing.
Okay, so that I'm like, I can't find it anywhere either.
It's a Canadian thing, I think. And then also he has like a light butter that he uses that has like less fat in the butter, and they don't have that here either.
Yeah.
What about like stuff like Walden Farms and those kinds of things? Those have like no calories.
Yeah,
like
those are right? So good.
I'm always wondering what the fuck kind of farm is that they have.
Walden Farms is it's on Mars.
Yeah, right. Mm.
But no, Walden Farms, all that stuff would be great if you like it. I haven't had enough of the Walden Farms stuff to know if I like it. I know a lot of people try it and they're like, it doesn't taste like anything.
Some of it's a little weird.
But if you try and you like it, go for it.
Yeah, some of it's a little weird, but like I've used like their pancake syrup.
Pancake syrup is good.
And they have a couple other things that are really good, so it's worth a try.
The chocolate is okay. It's if you're having regular, I don't know, even just like the Fairlife chocolate proteins, and then you have the Walden Farms, you're like, this doesn't even taste like chocolate. But if you stray away from sweets and then you have that
chocolate syrup,
yeah, it's a syrup. Yeah, if you stray away from sweets and then you have that, you're like, holy shit, this reminds me of like the Hershey's like syrup. Yeah. You know, so and Hershey's syrup isn't even that great, it tastes similar.
I've also made a carnivore pizza, which was really, really good.
Yeah, what's the deal with that pizza?
So the pizza, if you want to keep it 100% carnivore, you just don't put any sauce on it. But if you want to...
He made that like maybe 2 weeks ago?
Carnivore pizza is basically cream cheese. The crust is, you take cream cheese and you mix it with pork panko, which is, again, crushed pork rinds.
Is there a picture anywhere?
Yeah, there's a picture of the pizza. It's on there.
I'll find it.
There's the pizza. That's the meatball pizza I made for Mark's birthday.
Ooh. Meatball pizza.
Oh my God.
So what that is it's
we didn't make enough of it.
Damn, I'm pork hungry.
Pork panko and cream cheese, and you mix it together, and it turns into like a dough. It turns into like this weird dough.
Mm-hmm.
And you
really dough.
You push that, yeah, you push that down into the pan. That's just like a Andrew's still laughing. That's like just a cast iron round pan.
Yeah.
And I pushed down the
looks so good.
The dough to make it flat. And then I actually had come up with this after I've cooked this, but I think you should probably cook the dough for like 10 minutes after it's flattened out and then make the rest of the pizza because it's kind of good to have the dough be a little bit crispier. But anyway, regardless, then I just dumped toppings on, which are like, so I took the dough was all like laid out in the pan, and then I took pepperoni, I lined the entire bottom of the pan with turkey pepperoni, which is, so turkey pepperoni is really high in protein and really low in fat. It's got like 14 grams of protein and only 4 grams of fat.
Do you have any left, or do you eat them all?
As opposed to regular pepperoni.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Regular pepperoni has a lot more fat, like 13 grams of fat. So if you want to skip out on some fat, because there's a lot of fat in the rest of it, then it's then you need to do that. What are you guys doing here?
That looks
peanut butter balls.
So
you guys started talking about food, and I got hungry.
Yeah. So the pizza, it's just it's the crust, and then it's just a bunch of pepperoni laid out, and then it's a bunch of cheese laid out, and then we put some meatballs on top because we were making meatballs that day. And I actually usually serve it with sauce on the side, so I just dip a little bit in the sauce if I want sauce. And do it like that.
We make meatballs all the time that don't have any like bread in them. We just use the panko stuff in there, and they come out great.
It's a good hack, the panko stuff. Never heard of it.
Yeah, you know what's weird is I was just talking to Mark about this. I haven't tried it yet, but I've been actually trying to see. I'm going to try to see if you can use pork panko to make other things that would be like a cookie. Like, would it be gross to make a cookie out of pork rinds? Because they don't really taste like anything. Like when you make the pizza dough, and if you just eat the pizza dough by itself, you're like, this is really good. It's just cream cheese and panko.
It makes sense to me. If you're to eat flour by itself.
Report back. Not gonna if these are gross, you'll know about it. If they're good, you'll know about it.
I think they'll be good.
They'll probably be pretty good.
Make some like sugar-free chocolate chip pork panko cookies.
I think sometimes you need to use like chicken rather than like beef because – you know, because beef like has like a particular flavor to it, and like chicken doesn't really have much to it. If you take like canned chicken, you can do almost anything with canned chicken. You can turn it into like whatever the fuck you want.
Well, they make pizza crust with canned chicken too. Yeah. I think it's canned chicken and an egg. You can make a pizza crust also. I don't know how that turns out. I haven't tried that one.
How do you be like conscious of price? Because some people have that question. I know it's another bullshit hurdle that people like to throw out there. Oh, I'm concerned about the price. My wife is worried on my cholesterol and just Jesus Christ, just fucking do the diet. But how can someone be price conscious?
If you're on a diet of like spaghetti, you're not going to, and like that's all you can afford, then you might be in a boat where you'd be right to say like, I can't afford this. But if you're eating out at fast food or you're doing any of that crap,
DoorDash stuff.
Yeah, or you're getting a coffee at Starbucks every day, then you can afford to buy, you know, like a pound of just a pound of regular
ground beef
at the store, you know.
Is very inexpensive.
Yeah. It's what?
Fairly priced.
Yeah, $4 a pound or whatever. And you need like 2 pounds a day. Mm-hmm. So you go like you're eating for like $8 a day. But if you just get like, you know, go to Costco and buy in bulk, buy like all the eggs that you can get and buy all the ground beef that you can get. Buy those for $20. I know this is going to sound gross to people, but for $20, you can buy a giant log of beef at Walmart. Oh, yeah. It's gigantic. It's like 10 pounds, right? Mm-hmm. So it's only like $2 a pound. So why not buy that, cook that up until you're done with it? And it, like for me, for some reason, when I was in college, all I ate was those logs of beef with Goulden's mustard on it. So when I did carnivore in college, so it was all I had. So it was like, I didn't know any better.
Mm-hmm.
And if I just said, like, if I just told you all you can eat is this or nothing else and you just do it, are you going to get in good shape? Well, when I did that in college, I lost like 35 pounds, like because I was a fat power lifter trying to get, you know, lose weight for powerlifting. I didn't know how. Mm. So I was just told red meat and water. And since I was naive and stupid and broke, that's all I could afford was those logs of beef. And I just ate that. I didn't know how to make pork panko pizza back then.
Carnivore college. I like it.
Yeah.
We should start one. Carnivore College.
When it comes to those big old logs of beef, yesterday I got the Costco trays. You know, those are 88-12 ground beef.
Uh-huh.
Those logs, I think, can go up to like 93-7, but they also have the 85. And so which ones should people try to go for when it comes to like, okay, shit, this is what I'm going to be eating for the next couple of days?
Yeah, World Carnivore Month, go for the fattiest one. Okay. There's one that's 73-27.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
It's like cooking fatties. Up bacon.
There's one that's really fat, really fatty, right?
Uh-huh.
That one that's really fatty, get that one.
Mm-hmm. It's like white, too. It's like, well, it's like more
bang. Think about it. It's more bang for your buck. You're getting uh-huh. more calories per yeah. dollar, right? So get that. You know, Mark and I, remember we used to talk about like, if you were like a bum, what would you eat?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, you got to buy the things that are more calories.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Per
calorie dense.
I think we came up with the ultimate thing was like sunflower seeds.
Oh, yeah.
They had like 1,200 calories in like a little 99-cent bag of sunflower
really?
Seeds.
Really?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, not that that's carnivore, but I'm just saying, if you're trying to get calories per price.
Oh, my God.
Sunflower kernels.
Damn, when I used to be a driver, that's all I ate was just sunflower seeds all day to stay
awake.
But
you probably ate them in the shells, right?
Yeah.
To do the whole like,
yeah,
kind of like you're chewing tobacco, but like
just to stay awake, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's, I'm talking about like the kernels, the part that you eat from mm-hmm. the inside. Without the shells, because you can eat a ton of them and they come in like a little package.
Bag. Yeah.
I just realized this. I just remember the last time I ate sunflower seeds was when I was a kid playing baseball. Why is that such a thing when you play baseball? Why is that a bag?
The baseball players chew tobacco. And since you're a little kid, you know how to chew tobacco. You chew
that's why they had us do
and
that.
You spit them out.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thing, right? The baseball players are fucking getting high during the game. You know? Like literally.
Shows how uh-huh. yeah, important baseball is.
Yeah. And the kids are like, I want to do that too. Sunflower seeds. Wow.
Yeah. Just to ask the question, just in case someone else has it. But it came up because I was buying, I think, 180 eggs. I went to Smart and Final. You can buy shit in bulk there.
Oh.
Highly recommend if you have a Smart and Final.
I didn't know they had it up here.
It's a fucking gigantic box, and it has the sheets of eggs. And the lady behind me was like, wow, 180 eggs. What are you going to do with all that? And I'm like, I'm going to eat them. She's like, that many? I'm like, well, you know, family of four, like it'll probably be gone in like a week or two. She's like, oh my God. But I also eat a lot of egg whites. Again, so same thing on the carnivore diet, just go for the more calories with the whole egg and the fat.
Yeah. I mean, go with what's more, yeah. What's going to be more price conscious, right?
Got it,
like you want to, I mean, like what, like if you bought ground beef, eggs and butter, you know, and you buy the cheapest stuff that you can find, like I don't know, maybe I'll go out, it's a good experiment to do. I'll go out and find that at the store and just see mm-hmm. how little I can get that for to mm-hmm. to help people out. But like I think if you just did that, I mean, that would be first of all, like that's a really good diet. Like it's mm-hmm. really good to have, you know, eggs cooked in butter with some ground beef with it. I mean, that's gonna taste amazing. A little bit of salt, and that's all you really need.
Delicious.
I mean,
that is good.
I actually see that as being like almost a benefit in some ways. Mm. Like, so if you don't have a lot of money, I don't have a lot of money to go out to the nice steakhouse or buy the Piedmontese steak, use it to your advantage. Be like, you know what? This is probably the most amazing meal I can have for like $5. Mm. You know, and just think of it that way and go through the month like that. I mean, it's going to be, like I said, more fulfilling, especially after you get rolling for like a couple of days. It's going to definitely be more fulfilling to you that you know you're doing something good. And you know that you're doing it with your back against the wall. You know that like you're going to have a great story in the end and you'll be able to tell people like I did this on like hardly any money. You know, I think I tell this all the time, but I think Dr. Ted Naiman has one of the best stories. Is he had a guy that was homeless that he was helping and he wanted to help him for free because he felt bad for the guy and he was homeless. And the guy said, Doc, I'll do anything you say. And he's like, can you eat like meat, eggs and water? Mm-hmm. You know, like and that's it. Because we need to get you healthy. And the guy was like really severely overweight. And the guy would go to like a dollar store and like a local grocery mart and get the cheapest stuff he could buy. And he basically lived for like, he bought a frying pan at the dollar store because mm-hmm. you can buy almost anything at the dollar store. Bought a frying pan and then he'd get his eggs there. And I think he would get his beef at the grocery store down the street. And I think altogether we spent on like $5 a day and did a carnivore diet. He sustained it for like several months and lost like 80 pounds and got like pretty healthy doing it, and actually I think got back on his feet again. I'd have to check with Dr. Naaman about that, but I just thought that that was the most amazing story of like perseverance that I heard on something that's like could be argued, it's too expensive. Tell the homeless guy.
Well, it, the Dollar Tree is now the $1.25 store.
Is it really?
Yeah, that went up by a quarter. Yeah,
Biden freaking, did that. Yeah, freaking Biden.
Did Biden rename it the $1.25 store?
Maybe.
I heard him the other day say,
$1.25, that's how much your mother charges for a blowjob. Remember? It's in the Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Toll booth Willie. Yeah. I'm coming out of the booth.
I heard
y'all
Biden.
Y'all gonna die, bitch. I'm Biden, coming out of the booth.
I heard Biden the other day say, let's go, Brandon. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Yeah. Oh, he did?
Yeah.
That was amazing. Somebody,
did he realize what he was saying?
Somebody called. I don't even know.
Somebody was interviewing him, and at the end, they were like, yeah, let's go, Brandon. He's like, yeah, I agree. Let's go, Brandon.
Oh.
I think like he just was unaware that it's like a thing or whatever. Like he just, or maybe he realized it afterwards or something.
It made me feel bad for him because you could tell he was just being nice. He was being nice, and he's like, I agree. Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon. Yeah. Like, and you're like, oh, man, I just feel, at this point, I just feel bad. Oh. You know, it's like, you don't want to see it. You don't want to see him suffer.
All right. And finishing, you know, you've had a lot of turning points in your life, getting off of drugs and alcohol, and lifting has obviously changed your life forever. From when you were young, you were in a lot of pain and you're trying to figure out how to get out of pain. Bigger, Stronger, Faster, I think, was a monumental thing that you put together, and I think another great like pivot point. And then the carnivore diet, though, to me, it seems like this is like this is a thing that is like maybe even more powerful than anything that you've ever like done or tried. Like what is the impact that it's had? Because it seems to be a tremendous benefit to you in many, many ways.
It's had a great impact overall. I mean, like, look at for us, I tell you, people go, if you said to me, where did eating meat get you? Well, it got me sponsored by a meat company. Like literally, I Piedmontese Beef. I went to them and I said, "Hey, I do this. I know it's going to sound weird to you guys, but I do this carnivore diet." And they're like, "Oh, we're big fans. We would really love to talk to you." I got you guys involved. We got Michael Hearn involved with that. We got Mike Dolce involved with that. We've got some really great people involved with the company. You know, they've sent meat to like all of our friends and family. So in that respect of just like, I don't know. I think everybody kind of wants to be somebody or do something cool. To me, just even that's pretty cool that happened, right? But, you know, I think on a bigger scale, like it's given me something to like dig into and talk about a lot. And when you have something that you can dig in and talk to a lot, it got us on the biggest podcast in the entire world by just eating meat. I ate meat. And back then I was deadlifting like 400 for 5 reps. And Rogan saw it on Instagram and he's like, this guy's got fake hips. How's he doing this? And I'm like, I've been doing this. So he hit me up and I said, I've been doing this carnivore diet. I feel really strong. And I think that's, you know,
back when you were pathetic, 405 for 4.
No, I mean, I could do a lot more than that, but I was doing something.
I'm saying there's people listening going like, fuck, I wish I could deadlift 405.
Oh yeah, I know, I was pathetic. And you know, but like if you say, well, where did that diet ever get you? Well, it got us on Joe Rogan. It got us to you know, different places that I never saw myself really getting, like, we were really involved in keto. We really dove into that like full force. And to tell you the truth, I just didn't get the physique I wanted out of it. Like I didn't feel like, oh, look at me. Here's my before and after. And it's like a fat guy and a skinny guy. But there was no like muscle. You know, there was nothing to really speak of. When I started doing a carnivore diet, because it prioritizes protein, not because of any magic, but I also disagree with people that say it's not magic. I believe it is magic because it's such a simple thing that you can tell somebody and they say, well, you're just prioritizing protein. Well, let me see you do it. You go do it on your mixed diet. Go ahead. Go try to prioritize protein. And people can do it. We've seen a lot of bodybuilders do it and people do it. But it takes a lot more precision. It takes a lot more. Like, there's no thought behind a carnivore diet. You just do it and you just get in shape. So to me, there is some sort of a little bit of magic behind it. But it's magic that we can also explain. So I think we've gotten a lot out of doing a carnivore diet. And I think it's also, just like tracking calories did, it's another pivot point that teaches you how to eat. So even if you're not interested, if you're listening to this and you're like, these guys are full of shit, this is unhealthy, this is bad, if you just try it, for even just try it for the first week of January, just try eating just, you know, red meat and drinking water, sparkling water, whatever, even diet soda. I drink diet soda. I don't care what you drink really, but just don't drink any calories and just eat meat and see how you do. And, you know, prove us wrong. You know, go out and say, you know what, the Bell brothers are idiots. They don't know what they're talking about. I'm going to prove them wrong. And after you get a week in, you'll be like, I'm going 2 weeks. After you get 2 weeks in, you'll say, I'm going 3 weeks. If you don't do that, you'll just hop back off and go right back to your normal little boring life. Just kidding. But, you know, I think it's something that people should give a shot. And also, I think it's something that you and I talked about this on my podcast. I think everybody should track this as well. You want to talk about that a little bit, the calendar thing that we talked about?
Oh, yeah. I did a little demonstration of it the other day, and we just basically make it an asterisk out of every day that's on the calendar. You get like a slash. You just take a pen and you slash through day one if you ate well, if you ate according to, you know, your particular diet. For us, it would be just eating meat and or eggs. You get another slash for working out, like an actual, like, you know, kind of lifting session of some kind.
You make an X.
Right. Now you made an X, and then you're going to put a line down the middle. If you did your walks for the day, just a minimum 2 10-minute walks every day would be a good idea. And then the last thing, it was just to, because we also need to be like, just have some mindfulness, just try to learn something for the day, listen to a podcast, read or journal or whatever your thing is, just something where you're not going through every single day of your life being a fucking dummy.
Go out of your way to do something nice for somebody. You know, like things like that.
Exactly.
And guys, on episode 647, we talked about this on your 2022 guide for your New Year's resolution. So we went through all of that. We went into detail on things you can do and habits you can start building so you can get things ready for the New Year. So go check that out if you don't know what Mark is talking about right now, because we literally just talked about that.
And then one more line if you use the fleshlight.
Yes, grab a fleshlight, use it. Oh, I was going to say one thing from what you just mentioned, Chris, because I love diet soda too. But what I didn't know, and Andrew put me on this, is
because
that Diet Sunkist has caffeine.
Because Boar put me onto that.
Diet Sunkist. So yeah, don't drink that shit at night.
I know.
Yeah. I didn't know.
I was mad about it.
I didn't know. Yeah. I was drinking Sunkist and I didn't realize that it had caffeine. I didn't notice it fuck up my sleep, but you do want to be careful about caffeine before bed.
Highly recommend, because I used to not like this, but I highly recommend Zevia Diet Caffeine Free Cola, because I used to not like it.
Too much bubbly, huh? Was it too carbonated? That's it for me.
It didn't really taste like Diet Coke kind of thing. It has its own flavor.
Yeah.
But I've gotten used to it, and now it's kind of like all I drink is a Diet Zevia. But I also do enjoy, like, I would love to get Coke Zero, but I can never find it caffeine-free. Do they sell it online?
It would just be Diet. So it would just be Diet Coke caffeine-free. Yeah, they don't make Zero.
They don't make Coke Zero caffeine-free?
No.
See, that's something.
At least not that I'm aware of.
One other thing.
We need to invent that.
I'm a Diet Ginger Ale Fresca guy.
Oh, dude, I love Diet Ginger Ale.
Yeah. And Fresca, for some reason, I don't know why it's so good. I don't know where Fresca came from.
Fresca's the first ever diet soda, right?
Really? It's so good. I was like, why?
It's like a grapefruit flavor.
Yeah.
But it's like a very light.
It's good.
It's very light flavor. I'm going to go get some damn Fresca today.
I love that Encima likes Fresca and Raisin Bran.
Okay, Raisin Bran Crunch. Excuse me.
Sorry.
Raisin Bran Crunch.
Man, that is good Fresca, though. And then Diet. Oh, wait. So they have like Seagram's Ginger Ale Zero, right? That's really good.
I've never had Seagram's, but yeah.
So they have that. Good. But then this is weird. The Zevia Ginger Ale has a little kick to it.
It does, I don't know why, but it's the carbonation. That's why when you said Zevia, is the carbonation?
Yeah, the ginger ale kind of kills you a little bit, but it's pretty good, too.
If you just take the Zevia, though, and just dump it in a glass, you kill a lot of the bubbles.
Okay, that's what
just
I need.
Maybe dump it over some ice or something
so
like that.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's very, very bubbly.
It's
like the can's going to explode.
Okay. So it's not just me.
We got to get you a Fresca sponsorship.
Bruh, Fresca is so good. I discovered it like a few months ago. I'm like, wow.
Is it from that one show on Amazon?
The Boys?
The Boys?
Fresca's an ongoing joke in that show. But it's good.
I want that show to come back. That show was good.
One of my guilty pleasures is at night. You guys know those big bottles of Barefoot wine? right?
Yeah.
So it's mostly Fresca or Diet Ginger Ale, but I'll put a little bit of that wine with some fucking Diet Ginger Ale or Fresca almost every night. Not a full glass of wine either. It's like that, but it's just...
Sounds like a gangster move. Fresca and wine.
It's good. It's not carnivore, though, so guys, ignore that. Don't add that to your carnivore diet.
Ignore.
You know what is carnivore? It's carnivore crisps. Those things are amazing.
Love
it's basically salt and meat, and they have... my favorite one is the eye around is my favorite one. Mm. Andrew, I think, likes chicken.
I like the chicken breast one.
I was with Dr. Baker in Hawaii a couple of years ago, like 2 years ago. And he's like, "Yeah, man, I'm starving." And I'm like, "Ah, you want some of these carnivore?" I whipped him out. Like, I've never seen somebody so happy because he's thinking like, "Oh, there's no way I'm going to get meat. There's no way." And then I like pull him out of my bag, and his like eyes light up. Like, "Oh my god, I can't!" I think he ate two bags of them in a row.
They go down easy. Bite.
They're really good though.
They go down easy.
Yeah. They got pork. They got all kinds of stuff.
They got ribeye.
Oh, the ribeye is good.
My favorite still the chicken breast though. It's super salty. Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's good.
The only one that I had a problem with is the chicken
skin
is a little. It just kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, I've had it. I oddly like it, but it's like I feel wrong when I eat it, and it does. It just there's something different about it, but it tastes good.
Yeah, it's a little different. But all the other ones I love. You know, I love the elk one.
Never had elk.
You know what I didn't have? I didn't have the liver. I don't think I would like that.
Yeah, I've had them.
I've gone through. I like the liver one. Mark gave me his bag of liver ones because, I don't know, you weren't a big fan.
Not a big fan.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
They make heart. They got elk.
Yeah, you like stuff. All that gross stuff.
I ate liver growing up, man, so it doesn't get me like it does with people.
All right, I think that's all we got. Andrew, take us on out of here.
Thank you, everybody, for checking out today's episode. And a huge shout-out and thank you to Piedmontese for sponsoring today's episode. And we'll just say they're sponsoring World Carnivore Month. How about that? Links to them down in the description as well as the podcast show notes. Please follow the podcast at Mark Mel's Power Project on Instagram, at MB Power Project on TikTok and Twitter. My Instagram and Twitter is at I am Andrew Z. And Seema, where are you at?
And Seema Inyang on Instagram and YouTube. And Seema Yinyang on TikTok and Twitter. Chris?
At Big Strong Fast, and my brand new podcast. Yay. The first two episodes feature Smelly. It's BSF Cast, and it's at BSF Cast on Instagram if you want to follow that, and BSF Cast on YouTube and anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Hey, TikTok.
There you go. Don't forget the shirt. What's up with that?
Oh, yeah. That's our World Carnivore Month shirt. So people can get it. Hopefully you can see it if you're watching the video. I don't know. Can you see it?
Yeah, you can definitely see it.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's our paying homage to World Carnivore Month. Last thing I just want to finish up with is when you're trying this, especially if you're new, just fucking eat up. Are you farting over there?
Right to the heater. He's definitely farting.
Right to the heater. It blows right into our face.
Cooking up some farts over here.
You need to go on carnivore so you can stop farting so much.
Just because the peanut butter balls.
Do not blame
me. Because the peanut butter balls.
The sucralose.
Yeah, the sucralose got you.
I hit it. I looked Chris right in the eye. He didn't notice. I was like, good. I'm sorry. The heater's here, so it might.
Oh, my God. We need to get out of here. But I just want to encourage everybody to do the diet. And when you're doing it, don't try to count calories. Don't try to eat little itty-bitty amounts of food. Eat up. Eat up a lot of food. Try to get the fat in there. That way it encourages you to stay on the diet. I'm trying to breathe. It's like, I'm not sure whether I'm breathing my nose or my mouth or whatever.
Do it through the mouth.
Strength is never weakness. Weakness never strength. Catch you guys later.